in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Isn't it good to be in church on a Wednesday night in Jamestown, New York? Well, if you're not thrilled, I'm thrilled. Amen. I'm just always so honored to be here. And I'm also very honored. We have some folks that have not heard me. And whenever I speak, I always put this little disclaimer out. Please do not leave this church. Do not judge this church of anything I say and do. You know, come back Sunday, hear the pastors, and it'll be all right. And so we welcome you, and I'll endeavor to give you something that will help and bless you. So thank you for being here tonight. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Revelation. It's good to see familiar faces. It's good to see new faces. It's good to see my Fredonia groupie people. How many here from Fredonia? Yeah, we got a good selection from Fredonia. So you bless and honor me by coming. Thank you for bringing a supply. Well, we all want to get what God has. That's the most important thing. And as you're finding the book of Revelation, it's real easy. It's the last chapter, book in the Bible and so forth. I just want to, again, make mention. Last month we did a prayer conference, and I know it's kind of hard for everyone to come to it, but the beauty of modern technology, you can see those archives online on YouTube, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to encourage you, if you have not seen them, heard them, or been there, to go ahead and go through those archives, because those are some things that are greatly needed for these end days. And we talked about prayer and talked about the importance of prayer. I'll tell you, number one, will change you, and number two, it'll change the world. And so I just want to encourage you to follow that up and to listen to that over and over again. The Lord gave me a commission to get my church to pray more. And so that's why I have prayer conferences. That's why a lot of times I'll just teach on prayer. I'm not going to be teaching on prayer tonight, but I just want to remind everyone to pray and to be watchful. And there's a lot of admonitions in the Bible about the last days to watch and to pray. And so I want to fulfill that heavenly vision by teaching people, encouraging people to pray. Now, we're not going to go that direction tonight, because there's something the Lord has laid on my heart to minister at such a time as this. And so this is something that I've been privileged to minister to other family churches, and I've been very, very thrilled to be asked to minister here tonight in this church. And what I want to talk about is what is happening in the spiritual realm. Part of my offices is to see into that realm, operate in that realm, and to declare what I'm seeing and what the Lord has revealed to me. We know in the natural, if you turn on the news, that Israel is at war, right? And so every day you see the struggle, the battles that are going on. And if you are a student of the Bible, that you can see where Jesus said, you know, you look at Israel, then you look at all the nations, that Israel is God's timepiece. Very often, all one would need to do is look at what's happening in Israel, and you would get a good taste of what's happening in the spiritual realm. And so there's a battle going on in Israel, conflict. Things have been pretty intense and wild lately in Israel. Well, those are the same things that are happening in the spiritual realm, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And this, a couple of years ago, you know, I had a vision, and I saw a great attack, a great assault coming against the body of Christ. Now, I am a pastor, but I have other offices, and one of the other offices allows me to see into the spiritual realm, and very often God would show me the future. Actually, that's how my ministry, how the spiritual gifts work. A lot of times I see the future, and God shows me what is ahead, and very often is to tell people what is coming, but also to pray, and sometimes we can change some things. And if we can't change them, at least be aware of them. And so, I don't ask for these things. I mind my own business. I seek the Lord. And then I have a vision. I saw a great assault, a great attack coming against the body of Christ. And I saw, you know, it just seemed like extra demons being released against the body. And then the word Lord, which is the audible voice of the Holy Ghost, came to me as I saw this. And the Holy Ghost said this, that many of my people will not be ready when this happens. And of course, that's such a cheery vision, isn't it? Oh my. And so that happened a couple of years ago. But what was very interesting, I think just the following day or next couple of days, I was to have lunch with Reverend Randy Greer. Now, Reverend Randy Greer is a respected prophet, and a lot of my experiences of what the Lord shows me, I have him to judge in. Sometimes we have the very same experience, and I could tell you about some amazing things that the Lord showed me and the exact same time he showed him. But I was scheduled to have lunch. Of course, I didn't say anything that the Lord showed me. He's my elder. He's a stronger in that office, so I always defer to him. I'm sitting to listen. But I happened to ask him, says, Reverend Randy, what is happening? What is the Lord showing you? And he began to prophesy or began to tell us, there's a large deluge of demons coming against the body of Christ. There's attacks coming against the body of Christ. I saw it. And then he began to say that many of God's people will not be ready for it when it comes. And so, again, we're not here to get everyone into fear, but just to make aware of what is going on, that we are in the last days. And, you know, me personally, the start of this year, January 1st, like clockwork, just about every day I was attacked financially, situations, you know, in the churches and so forth. I mean, it was comical, one after another. I mean, if you just, you know, have three things in 3 days, you know, you might think that's a coincidence, but it's, you know, first month, every day, you know, there's something happening. The next month, something day, every day is happening, and it went on and on and on. And so, you know, what do? You learn to rejoice. The word is true. Count it all joy. And if someone were to ask me, you're going through a test trial, I have to pause a moment and look back and say, yeah, I'm going through hell right now, but hell is not going into me. And so, you know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the word. You do the word and life is light and easy. Even though if hell has a lottery and picks your name, you can overcome and enjoy life light and easy no matter what comes. And so I've endeavored to do the word. But nevertheless, there has been a spiritual attack, a spiritual assault. And of course, you know, when the Lord showed me that years ago, no doubt I was not exempt from them, even though I pray and seek the Lord, you know, it came against me. And so I want to talk to you about these things and, you know, why the increase in tax. And of course, more importantly, is how to overcome them. I know this is a church that prays. My wife and I pray, and it just seems like this year, more than anything, we're praying about attacks, not causing people to be attacked, but people that are under attack, people under satanic influence, people that are going through the fire, and the Spirit of God keeps saying attacks against my body. And so we've been, you know, just praying and praying concerning these things and trying to help people. But we want to get light from the word, why this is going on, and more importantly is how to overcome a spiritual attack. And so if you found the book of Revelation chapter 12, let's go ahead and just read what the word says. Revelation 12 and verse 10 says this, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, or those that live on the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he has but a short time. And of course, this is in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is simply a revelation of the last times, and primarily what happens during the tribulation, great tribulation, then it goes on to the end of the world. But I want to, first of all, before we look at this, I'm not saying that Revelation chapter 12 is being fulfilled right now. So I don't want you to go tell Pastor Tim that Pastor Mike is preaching, Pastor Michael's preaching that we're in the tribulation and the devil's come down on the earth and so forth and doom, gloom, and agony on all of us. No, I want us to look at the scripture, to look at a spiritual principle that does apply. No, we're not living in these times. I believe this is for a future time, but we can see a strategy, a tactic of Satan, and understand how he operates. And here it says that in this time, in the book of Revelation, the devil knows that his time is short. Now, if you study the ministry of Jesus, many times Jesus would cast a demon out of a person, and that demon cry out, it says, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" So demons know that there's a set time when their rule and their reign will be over. There's a set time when the devil and demons will be judged. And so here we see even closer a set time. That here Satan knows that his time is short, his time is limited. So when it reads and tells us his time is short, what does he do? He increases his activity. He increases, you know, he kind of builds up his army, sends his army out. And I believe that's what I saw. Now, I'm not saying that I'm seeing this in the book of Revelation, but we know we're in the last days. I mean, Jesus said, when you see Israel become a nation, know the time clock started, and we can see all the things that have come and passed in Scripture that point that it is the last days. And so, again, Satan's time is short. And pretty soon, the end time revival will be here. The harvest will come in. The trumpet will sound. And Jesus will say, "Come up hither." And we get to be with the Lord forever and ever. That time is near. That time is close. And so we know it. God knows it, but also the devil knows it. So what we're seeing here is the devil knows his time is short, and he will increase his activity. So what we're seeing in the spiritual realm, and maybe many of you have been aware of this, is just a spiritual attack, spiritual influence, Satan increasing his activity. And I know this, that, the past 20 years, we've been able to coast because of great teachers and great things have been ministered to us. But in these last days, you know, the faith we had last year ain't going to work this year. We're all going to have to bump it up. We're all going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And not to be afraid, but to know it's in the end times. Jesus is coming soon, the author and the finisher of our faith. And soon we're going to be out of here. But we see Satan. His time is short. He increases his activity. But, you know, the good news is, we read in this account, even in the tribulation, that the saints that are in the tribulation, I'm not talking about born-again saints, but they that are on the earth, notice what happens. Even though in the middle of the tribulation, they overcame Satan. And so how much more us? You know, we're not going to be in the tribulation, you know, but even the people that have to endure the tribulation and take hold of the faith, they overcome Satan by the word of the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. So we're not here to breed fear, doubt, but here the Bible does tell us there's a devil, and he is arrayed against us. You know, he's seeking whom he may devour. And I simply want us to see how he works and how we can overcome him. We see the reason why there's a more spiritual attacks, more things that are happening, is because the time is short. And so I want us to look at what the Bible says concerning the devil and how he works, and to be able to recognize how he works. That way, when he comes knocking at your door, you realize, hey, this is a spiritual attack. I know what to do. I shut the door on him. And you got to realize this. You know, the devil is going to come to your front door dressed in, you know, his satanic outfit with his red skin, you know, with his pitchfork, you know, his pointed tail and his horns. He is going to knock on your door and say, knock, knock, knock. You open the door, says, hi, I'm the devil. I come to steal, kill, and destroy. Will you let me in, please? You know, most of us, hopefully, we'll say, ain't no way. You shut the door on him and you don't let him in. But if he can trick you to open that door, if he could be hiding in the bushes and have something else knock at the door that seemed petty, small, harmless, and while you're being involved or interacting with someone, you know, that's on the door and he kind of sneaks in, then he can come in and, you know, do havoc. And so we want to look at these things, and that way we're aware of how he works and realize we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, world, that just how he operates. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about spiritual activity. Why is there more satanic spiritual activity? The time is short. Now we're looking at how Satan operates. And once we know how he operates, we can overcome his assaults, his attacks. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I mean, you know, the whole Bible's true. Not just, you know, all the blessing scriptures. You know, my God will supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All those wonderful scriptures, we are to believe them and confess them and stand on them. But even scriptures like these are true. And it does talk about the adversary. And notice what it says, lest Satan should get an advantage or to get an inroad, to get an opportunity in our lives, take advantage of us. And notice how he will do that. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, we are masters of Satan. Jesus gave us authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. That, you know, we've been given a name above every name. And anytime Satan comes knocking on our door, we can put him in his place. He is under our feet. But this scripture brings us light here. And it says this, that Satan can take advantage of us, even though we have authority, even though he is under our feet. How will he do it if we are ignorant of his devices? It's only when we are ignorant of how he operates that he can take an advantage of us. And so I want us to look at his device, how he works. This message will be very, very simple, but I believe it's imperative that I share it with you and that we understand how these things operate. So just a little bit further in 2 Corinthians, you're in chapter 2, and turn with me to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And verse 3, so we're not to be ignorant how he operates or he can get advantage of us. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent or the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So here Paul again is talking about Satan. And is warning us, we who have the name of Jesus, we that are redeemed and washed in the blood, we that can master Satan at any given moment. Here, Paul expressed this concerns for the church at Corinth. And he's talking about Satan, how Satan beguiled or tricked Eve through his subtlety. And so we understand he's talking about the Garden of Eden. Now, most of us, I'm sure, have read that account. All was well in paradise. You know, God made the perfect place, the perfect couple. Everything is going well. Everything is wonderful. But all of a sudden, Satan crept in and really destroyed the paradise of God, destroyed and corrupted what God had planned as a beautiful thing and made it, you know, a cursed place. How did that happen? Through his subtlety or his trickery, tricking them, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so it tells us how Satan operates or how Satan can get an advantage of us. How does Satan get advantage of us? It's through our minds. And just think of it. Adam and Eve were in paradise, a perfect place, a place of prosperity, a place of peace, a perfect couple. Everything was right in paradise until a thought came.
Sure, right.
Till a thought came.
Yes.
And we know this, Eve entertained that thought and you know, thought, hey, that thought is good. She acted on that thought and it corrupted what God meant to be a paradise for them. And so we have to understand that's how Satan operates, that Satan will seek to take advantage of us in these last days. And the number one way he will do that is by suggesting something to your mind. Now, what we got to do, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, we got to actually do the Bible. And where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take captive what? Every thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Every thought. Now, what if Eve would have said, you know what? That is a thought of the devil. I resist that. There ain't no way. I know what we're going to try to do. You're trying to spoil my paradise by this suggestion. No way, I don't give in. How many know we'd be in paradise today? But notice the fall that came through listening to a suggestion. I don't know if many of you read the book, I Believe in Visions. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book about the main visions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. And in one of those visions, Jesus appeared to him and said this, I'm going to teach you about the devil, demons, and demon possession. And, you know, he began to talk to him about his ministry and about how the devil works and devil operates. And in that vision, Jesus shows him a pastor's wife. And so Brother Hagin's having vision and Jesus talking to him, and why he's in that vision, Jesus shows him in another vision a pastor's wife. Now this pastor's wife was in paradise, so to speak. She was in ministry with her husband. She preached, she taught, she had spiritual gifts in operation, and they were very successful in ministry. Just like Adam and Eve, all was well in what? Paradise. But all of a sudden that vision, a demon came and sat on her shoulder and said this to her, no, you're a beautiful woman. And she was. She was a very beautiful woman. And she had a great singing voice. And the devil said to her, you know, you're a beautiful woman. In the world, you could have had fame and fortune. You know, you're a beautiful woman. Your voice, you have what it takes in the world. You could be making lots of money. You could be famous and begin to suggest those things to her. Well, right away, she knew that was the devil, you know, and so she resisted it. And again, remember, Brother Hagin, Jesus is talking to him, giving him this vision, and that demon came again with the same thought. You're a beautiful woman, and you gave up everything in this lowly Christian life. In the world, you could have fame and fortune, but you're married and you're in the ministry and you'll never go too far, that type of thing. And this went over a course of time. And after a while, she began to listen to those thoughts. Again, Jesus was showing Brother Hagin, to her, there were just thoughts that were coming to her head. She didn't see a demon. If she saw a demon, no doubt she would have resisted it more continually. But she began to listen to that suggestion. And she began to think, you know, I am a pretty woman. I have a great voice. And in the world, I could be making a lot of money. I'm so limited and bound in being in a place in life I am, she began to think about those thoughts and entertain those thoughts. And what happened? She left her husband. She went into the world. And she began to do a lot of ungodly things. And there came a time where she said to Jesus, "I don't want you anymore." And she renounced her salvation. And she died and went to hell. Okay. Now, Pastor Mike, this is pretty heavy for a Christmas message. But I'm simply showing you how it works. All is well in paradise. She was successful in ministry. Satan came with a thought, a suggestion. She resisted for a while, but after a while she began to agree with that and listen to that thought, and it led her down a dark path. And just like Adam and Eve, their paradise was corrupted. So her life was corrupted. Again, just showing you how it works. That's why it's so vitally important. Every thought that comes to your head, you say, "Halt, who goes there?" Right. Is that a God thought? Is that a godly thing? Is that what the Word of God says? Or is the devil trying to come in and make me bite the hook, so to speak, you know, in order to snare me? And so this is how Satan works today. If he can get you to start to think it, then you'll imagine it and you'll speak it. You begin to act it. And then eventually it'll lead you down a dark path. Now, what the good news is, if you simply recognize that thought is the devil and say, "No way, I'm not going to think it." How many know he has no part in you? He has no part in you. Now, let's just one other scripture. Then we'll begin to talk about some things. Acts chapter 14. It is vitally important, it's crucial that we keep our minds in check and not to listen to the suggestions of Satan. And like I said, if the devil were to come knocking at your door with a pitchfork all in red with a bad smell of sulfur and with, you know, horns on his head, you would shut the door. But if he can get you to open the door some other way, then he can get in. All right, let's look at it this way. How many know what a mouse trap is? How many have ever set a mouse trap? Unless you have a really stupid mouse, you cannot get a mouse in a mouse trap unless you put bait in it. A piece of cheese, a piece of bacon. The only way you can get a mouse without bait is if he happens to stumble across it by accident and falls into the trap. Now, to get a mouse into the trap, you have to bait the trap. How many ever gone fishing with a hook? I mean, know that unless you got a real hungry and stupid fish, you cannot catch a fish just with a hook. You know, when we grew up, you know, my daddy taught us how to put a worm on the hook. You don't show any of the hook. I mean, you just put it right down the middle and you hide that hook and then you let it dangle, that rest of the worm, and that worm is going like this in the water. Come and get me, come and get me, come and get me. I mean, it just drives the fish, you know, crazy, and of course they want to bite. Look at that. You know, the mouse and the fish have no idea what's under the bait. And so the idea is if they go after the bait, then you get hooked or you get them in the mousetrap. That's exactly what Satan will do. Yes. He will try to get you bite at it. Okay. Want to have a fun exercise? Yes. Let's make it light and easy. Yes. All right. All right. How many married folk here? Yes. Oh, fun. You know, either you are married, we're married. Okay. Now, the rest of you, you just look and see if what I'm telling them, when I'm teaching is the truth. They're going to go yes or no. Okay. All right. How many married folk have ever had a time of intense fellowship with your spouse? Yes. Okay. Stand up. Stand up. You single folk. All right. All right, sit down. All right. How many of you married folk, unless you were just married about 3 hours ago, how many of you married folk has never, ever had a time of intense fellowship with your spouse? Stand up. Okay. Learn and observe. So I'm telling the truth. All right. You can't be close without conflict. Okay. You haven't, all is well in paradise. Ooh, everything is fine. All right. All is well in paradise. All of a sudden, something is sad, something is done, and all of a sudden, the temperature gets very warm. Okay. At that point, in your mind, you have the most pleasant, wonderful thoughts about your spouse. Stand up if that's you. Listen and learn. What happens? An anointing comes on you. And all of a sudden, in your head, in your mind, like machine gun bullets, thoughts come of the offense that he did for the last 15 years. And he's still doing the same thing. And he hasn't learned yet. And she always does that. She don't care. She keeps doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. What is that? That's a demon.
There you go. Come on.
He's dumb to put fire, put gasoline on that fire.
Yes.
And see, those are spiritual laws.
Yeah.
You got to understand, in that time, you got to realize, who are you listening to? But we all sense that. The thoughts that come, they come and they come. Why? He wants to ruin your paradise. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to ruin anything. Because he sees, wow, there's something here. And so he doesn't, okay, let's do this. Now, hopefully no one stands on this. Whenever you have a time of intense fellowship, has Satan ever told you to kill your wife or kill your husband? Probably not. But he will kind of put something out there that's a little bit true, won't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does do that over and over again. Okay, what is that? That's the worm, that's the bait. There always will be an element of truth because he can't get you to bite the hook or take the trap unless there's something juicy that he gets you to bite the apple with. And so you got to understand thoughts. There will be a temptation to bite the apple, to bite the worm, to bite the cheese. But you got to know who is sending those signals to you. Because if you listen to him and you'll heed those thoughts, then he's going to ruin your paradise. Okay, look at this. Acts chapter 14. Notice this, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. This is an amazing scripture, and I've seen this over and over again. These Jews were disgruntled with Paul. And so they begin to talk to these other people about Paul. And what does the Word of God, what does the Holy Ghost say? That those people, through their testimony, through their sharing, their being disgruntled, made their minds evil affected. This is another way Satan works. Satan will try to attack your mind just about people in your life, your pastor, your church, your spouse, and so forth. But also, he will use people. And people will come and share their grievances of what they don't like about this person, what they don't like about your church, what they don't like about their boss. Because there's something they've been feeding on. Something that's been sitting on them and it's upsetting them and offending them, and they just can't seem to keep quiet, and so they got to share their offense. And notice what it did. What was on them got on the other people. And you got to be careful about that too. I had a very interesting experience. You know, we don't live by experience. We live by the Word of God, but when experience lines up the Word of God, it really brings this truth home. I remember one time I had a person in my church, and actually this person was in leadership, and wanted to meet with me. And we met, and this person began to share their grievance with another leader. And actually another leader couple. They were a couple. And they, you know, up to that time, I thought the couple was great. They were wonderful. They were helping. And, you know, I had no ill thought, no ill will, ill intention towards that ministry couple. But this person, you know, tried to come as sincere, you know, wanting to share their grievances and how things just don't really pan out with them. And so they were vexed and just wanted me to be aware of the situation and kind of, you know, pretty up very nicely. And so I listened and I said, well, I thank you for your time. And they left the office. You know what began to happen? I begin to think bad thoughts about that couple that this person was telling me about. And all of a sudden, for the next few minutes, to my mind, these evil thoughts, bad thoughts, you know, tainted thoughts, twisted thoughts, that, you know, you can take something, you know, about someone, just kind of twist a little bit and kind of get in a little bit of error about them. And all of a sudden, for about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, if I didn't know better, I would say she was right. Then, you know, I caught myself. What am I thinking on?
Yes, right.
And you know what I did? I said, no, you don't, Satan. You get out of here. I resist you. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Guess what? Those thoughts were gone. And I once thought happy thoughts towards that person, towards that couple. Brothers and sisters, if you have unhappy thoughts against anyone, you might just be listening to the devil. But you don't understand my husband. You don't understand my wife. You don't understand my pastor. You don't understand what Sister Susie did to me in church. If you have unhappy thoughts about anyone, you just may be listening to the devil. Is there a mic that I can drop? Bringing into captive every thought. All right, turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. What do we got for time? I'm still on my introduction, by the way. We'll get to my message probably about midnight. We'll get to there. Again, this may not be running and shouting, but it is a warning. It is a warning. And again, it's not to be something scary. If you could just recognize, thoughts come to my head. Is that a God thought? If it is not a God thought, how do you know it's a God thought? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, if it isn't good, lovely, pure, pleasant, virtuous, if there's no praise, you know, then you're not to think on it.
That's right.
Yes. I see that, Lord. Okay. We'll get there. Remember our opening text. Again, the Holy Ghost just interrupted me. About Satan and his time is short. Okay. What is Satan called? The accuser of the brethren. Can I tell you another story?
Yes.
And then he interrupted me to help you identify something. I remember one time I was, you know, I was ready to head to the office. And I don't know why, Pastor Scott can testify, the Lord will very often speak to me in the bathroom. You know, because, you know, you're shaving or whatever, and usually your mind is pretty blank. And so the Lord will talk to me. And in the bathroom, the Lord said this to me. He said this, whenever you have an accusing thought against another person, know that you're listening to a demon. And of course, I thought he was talking to me. I thought he was talking to me personally. And, you know, I repent. And so, of course, first thing is I made sure that I wasn't thinking anything bad, but I repented regardless and just say, I'm sorry. You know, I thought it was a word for me. But when I went to the office, you know, I have ministers, you know, not only here, but all over the world will come to me and sometimes ask for counsel. And there was a ministry couple that were having some difficulties. And as they were sitting there, and I, you know, what seems to be a problem, of course, he began to share what she did and point the finger at what she was doing. And she was pointing the fingers at what he was doing. Now I realized why the Holy Ghost said that. The reason they were having trouble in their marriage is why? They're listening to demons. And that's why a lot of people have trouble in marriages, in relationships, with a pastor, with the church. They're listening to the devil. Whenever you have an accusing thought, remember the time of intense fellowship? Remember that? Let's go back. What comes to you? Pleasant, wonderful thoughts about your spouse? Oh, I just have the best spouse in the world. Oh, isn't she cute when she's angry? Oh, I just love it when she snarls her nose at me. Oh, I'm just so blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for my wonderful wife. No. Accusation.
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 Yes. Yes, sir.
In these last days, you got to guard your mind. And I see that, Lord. And the problem is, too many of God's people feel they're justified in their accusations. Whenever you feel justified, I have a right to be offended. I have a right to be hurt about this. Know this, Satan's gotten you to bite the hook. Yeah. Never, never are you to accuse another person. I wish I had some time with you. To accuse another individual is the lowest thing you can do as a Christian. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it talks about scoffers and how they will speak evil against leadership. And it said this, the angels that are in greater power and might durst not to bring a railing accusation against them. What is it saying? Here, angels that did not sin, that are in a full, glorious state, and these people that are accused, that angels will not stoop so low to even accuse someone who is in error. Then we can turn to Jude chapter 1, verse 9. It's talked about Satan and Michael contending for the body of Moses. And of course, Satan is the fallen one. Satan rebelled and took a third of the angels. If anyone had the right to accuse Satan, be Michael. Michael stayed true. Michael is God's angel. And even though here he's giving Michael a hard time about the body of Moses, it said this, that Michael wouldn't even bring an accusation against Satan. Because it's the lowest thing you can do as a Christian. That it's vile to accuse. But how many times people are caught up? Accusation, being critical, being offended, speaking evil against people. Again, these things are spiritual. Anytime, listen to me, anytime anyone is offended, they're listening to Satan. Anytime that people are overly hurt and they leave or they take some type of action, know they're listening to Satan. Now turn, I have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. How much time do I have? Oh, I haven't even said what I was going to say yet. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Again, this may not cause you to run and shout, but I tell you, if you'll listen, you'll keep free.
Yes, amen.
You won't bite the hook. You won't get in a trap. You won't bite the apple. It says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it's talking about the last days, right? You know, I used to interpret this when it talks about seducing spirits, doctrine, devil, it'll get Christians into witchcraft. It'll cause people to denounce Christ, some big God-awful sin and so forth. But simply this, what do seducing spirits do? To get people to depart. How many marriages people departed because thoughts got in? Okay? Yeah. How many people have left churches and departed from a church? God led them in and they got offended or hurt and they what? Departed. See, we just look at the natural. And you say, well, they got hurt, they got offended, and it's just a natural. No, these things are spiritual.
Yes, right.
And what it's saying in the last days that many are going to depart. And we think, well, they're going to renounce Jesus. No, they're going to listen to accusations. They're going to listen to offenses. They're going to listen to things that will cause them to depart from their God-appointed place.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to say what I'm going to say. During COVID, there was a pandemic. And amazing things happened. I believe a lot of spiritual things happen. And we're not going to get in there. But you know what the new pandemic is? It's people being offended in the body of Christ. Being offended. During COVID, I didn't get to travel much, but now the door's open. I've ministered in Canada and Europe and across the United States. It is a pandemic of people getting offended in church. And it's spiritual. Now, what is offended? People leaving the church because they're upset, they're hurt. They're offended at the pastor or how the church does things. Silly things. I mean, it is amazing. Every church I've gone to, it's like wildfire. Yeah. Not only the congregation, but leadership.
Yeah.
People in leadership in church. I'm going in, I'm picking, and they're offended. About this, about that. And here they've been working in the church for years. All of a sudden, they're upset with the pastor, upset with the church. What has happened? Seducing spirits. Thoughts. Unchecked. Coming in. Accusing the pastor. Accusing the church. Accusing they don't love you. You're not loved here. You're not appreciated. You're overlooked. Or he had a tone when he said that. Accusing thoughts and people in leadership leaving the church. People that God ordained for them to be around a man and or a woman of God. Even pastors are what? Getting offended. What does it do? To depart. It's a pandemic. But we have the answer. Turn with me to, we got to close somewhere. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, it's not cheery. It's not even a very pretty message. Not very well put together, but I'm getting it out. Yeah. Okay. The only time God permits someone to leave the church is they go to the pastor, you know, pastor, I love you, I love the church, but I feel that God is leading me elsewhere. I don't understand it. I prayed. How many know that's a spirit-led thing? Okay. Oh, I can tell you stories. Can I tell you a story? Yeah. We all like stories. I remember having this family come to church. And I remember the first time they hear me, they came with tears. No, they usually, they're either sad, mad, or glad, you know, when they hear. And just, I've never heard the word of God like this. You changed my life. And I mean, for months and months, I mean, oh, my life has changed. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. You know, there's a honeymoon stage. You know, when they first hear you, they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then after about 6 months to a year or two, then they have, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you that authority? And they begin to question why you're doing this, why you're doing that. Then when about the third year, they come up with crucify him, crucify him. And I remember I had this woman in tears, bless me, came wanted a meeting with me. She says, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't get anything out of your messages anymore. Stop right there. If you don't get anything from your pastor anymore, is it the pastor? No. No. What have you been thinking on? You can't receive from someone you're offended by. Okay. Because it grieves the Spirit of God. And she had a list of 15 things of grievances and offenses, and how I need to change this and change that about me and my ministry. And of course, I smiled. You know, I'm not threatened by the devil, no matter who sends this way. And I said, well, dear sister, I appreciate you coming, but I'm not going to change all that. And, you know, I appreciate you coming, but if you don't like how we do things, feel free to go to some other church. And I thought I was off the hook. And then she says, no, God sent me here to straighten you out. And I says, oh, really? Well, good luck with that. Well, let's just say I'm still here. And they probably are gone through 5 or 6 other churches since then. It's spiritual. And it's time that we grow up. And stop, you know, I have one of my daughters, my girls were saints, but I'm talking about other kids. You know, when they're little, they get in spats. She touched my things, she hurt me, you know. Understand when they're kids, they're like that. You know, but when you become 30 and 40 years old, how many know it's time to put childish things away? Even as Christians, we got to grow up. If you're offended, ask yourself, why are you offended? If you're hurt, ask yourself why you're hurt. If you are miffed and angry, ask yourself why. Well, they hurt me. Again, accusing. And that's why people go from one crisis to the other, because they listen to the accuser. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be hurt. That's childish. Right. I really wish I could teach you. Every time you're hurt, upset, and offended, you know why you are? For two reasons. It's either pride or selfishness. Yeah. And those are wonderful fruits of the Spirit to be operating by, right? Yeah. Well, let's close this thing up. I've done enough damage. Those of you who never heard me before, Come back Sunday. Your pastor will encourage you, love you. You know, I'm just doing the dirty work, that way you love him. But I don't apologize for my message. It needs to be said. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, this is war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought. Even during intense fellowship. Every thought. A kingdom cannot stand if it's divided. Can I be honest with you? Oh, just about every day, a demon comes and visits me. You know, it's very interesting, when Jesus fasted and prayed, who did all the talking? The devil did. Yeah. You know, Satan will come and try to accuse my spouse to me. She does this, she does that. And I start to laugh. You got to be kidding me. You really believe I'm going to fall for that? An accusation against someone? You're crazy. I'm not going to bite the apple. But how many do? And that's why they have trouble. They bite the apple if their pastor talks about tithing. And you never want to be offended about tithing, because you're in the same category as Cain and Judas. And that's a bad group of people to be in clubbing with. So if you get offended about tithing, why are you upset about tithing? And you really, oh, I'm selfish. I'm in rebellion. It's time to be big about these things. All right, I gotta go. You know, I'm supposed to be very pastoral here. Bringing every thought that comes to your head. What does the word say? Is this a love thought? The Bible says love believes the best of every person. You know, if we can get Christians to do this, there would be no strife, no offense, no hurt in the body of Christ. But it's very unfortunate when you're upset about something, that's when Satan will come and start throwing gasoline on the fire. You know, when Cain's offering was not accepted of the Lord, and he was upset that God didn't accept his offering, you know what God said? Cain, why are you angry?
Yeah.
Notice that's what God says whenever you're angry, offended, upset. He doesn't go, oh, you poor thing. It'll be all right. Yeah. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to her. I'll try to make it better. No. God says, why are you? Why are you offended? Why are you hurt? Why are you upset? It's usually because of pride, selfishness. I was hurt. And God said this, if you did right, it'd be all right. But because you're not doing right, you're upset and you're offended, and you got to be careful, because sin is waiting to take you down. But anyway, I got to stop. I know it was kind of a Splatterboro message here tonight, but I trust you got the message. Now, I'm going to scan. If you get a hurt and offended and leave this church, you're going to go on record what took place here. It applies to your marriage, applies to the workplace. Okay, I'm not sorry. The Lord just, okay. Too many people feel justified of their offense and their hurt. The only one that could rightly be offended or hurt is Jesus. He did no sin. He did nothing but right. He gave himself for everybody. And you know, when he was on the cross, he was on the cross unjustly. You know what he said? You all can go to hell. I've done nothing but good, and this is how you treat me? To hell with you. Burn them all, God. Just let them all go to hell. You know what he said? Neither do I forgive them. Neither do I condemn them. Lord, forgive them. That's a Jesus spirit. When your husband says something that hurts you, if you want to be like Jesus, Lord, forgive him. If your wife does something to hurt and offend you, instead of entertaining all those thoughts, I forgive them. When your pastor says something maybe you don't understand or something in a sore spot, I forgive them. I mean, this will just make you all clean. Satan has no roads into your life when you walk like this.
That's right, amen.
There's been greater activity, but man, when you recognize, hey, that's the devil, you shut that door in his face, everything's going to be all right. Well, were you helped?
Yes.
Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, I know that I need to share this and get this out. It's not a fun message, but it's an important message. And Father, I know you said this, that it would be a witness and a testimony. Father, yes, I see that. Thank you, my master. And so be it. So be it. Oh my, what is that? My. Yes, master. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many sense the Master's presence? I was just going to turn it over to Pastor Brad, but the Lord wants to just, he's so good and wants to help us and bless us. If you're here tonight, I know I talked about offense. This doesn't have any new offense, but there's a heaviness, a weightiness. There's a lot of oppression that's part of this satanic assault. Now, a lot of times when you say depressed, oppression, people feel like I'm down and so forth. Sometimes what this oppression is, you're trying to pray and it seems so hard to pray. When you're trying to read and it just seems like it's a dead book. And you know, it didn't used to be a dead book. And a lot of times, Satan will say, it's you, you're backslid. No, that's part of it. Spirit oppression. And say, we're just exposing the assaults of the enemy. But if that's you, and there's a heaviness, a weightiness, or any of those apply to you, if you would allow me to minister to you before I turn over, Pastor, I'm here. Jesus came in and wants to minister because he loves people. And you got to realize, Satan will always blame you for you being down and oppressed when he's the one that brings it, and then he accuses you of the cause of it. We'll start over here. How many love Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I didn't close it off. And he came because he wants you free. And Father, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointing that's on me, I break these yokes and I command them to be free, to be free, to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I break that in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. Be free. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. I break that in Jesus' name. I break it 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 in Jesus' name. Be free. Thank you, Lord. How many love Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I love it when he interrupts, because I was just going to hand it over, but that's how much he loves us. He doesn't want us to be in bondage one single moment of our lives. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Brad.
For Pastor, glory to God. Pastor Tim, for the last number of months, has been ministering on offense, strife, talking about marriage, going into marriage and getting things right. It was just a word in season. But anyone with any kind of a spiritual pulse living in the world that we're living in today, Pastor Michael just knocked it out of the park. I mean, even in our political scene, does anybody have anything nice to say about anybody? It is all strife. It is all accusation. It is all, you know, bringing a charge against another person. And that's trying to be getting in the church and has gotten in the church. And I'm telling you, like all the family churches, because it's near and dear to us, but all the church needs to hear this word. My goodness, it's such good help, and praise the Lord for it. What we're going to do here this evening, we're going to take up an offering. If you are here and you brought your tithe, the tithe does go to the local church, so make sure that you specify that. But the offering that we're taking up here this evening is going to go to Pastor Michael. You can make those checks out to Family Church if you're writing a check. We'll separate that and make sure all that goes to Pastor Michael as we give. We're not paying for the word of God, but my goodness, it's right according to the word to honor the word and to share unto him who teaches unto all good things. Amen. We want to be a doer of that. And you might be asking, well, you know, it's an offering. Yes, as you purpose in your heart. You know, God delights in a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do a giver whose heart is in his giving. So make sure your joy is attached to it. If the Lord tells you to give something, hey, obey God, but attach your joy to it. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're going to honor our man of God. Pastor Michael, I'm even searching for words here, but that is so pertinent. It is such good help. Praise the Lord for you, and praise the Lord for the word of God. Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we just give you the praise and glory. We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you for the help that we've received here tonight. And Father, we know that as we sow seed into good ground, that harvest is imminent. We know it comes back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into our bosom. And so, Father, we give you the praise. The seed goes and it grows and it comes back multiplied. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Ushers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Michael. Thank you for the offices that you represent and that you bring, that we could be partakers of that this evening. So praise the Lord. I know the offering buckets going by as the ushers have gone by. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet and let's just glorify and honor God before we leave here today. Father, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We receive our help, Father. We receive our help. We're going to take every thought captive. We're going to be doers of your word. And we are going to leave change here tonight and bring change to this world. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.